AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Are you scouring the web for the best Black Friday and Cyber Monday deals? Stop it. Get Rakuten. Rakuten is a shopping sidekick that gets you cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. Right now, you can get up to 15% cash back at the stores you love. You can even stack cash back on top of the biggest sales of the year. That's savings on savings. It's more time shopping and less time searching. With Rakuten, you're always saving at your favorite stores on the things you're already buying. Cash back is automatically added to your account as you shop, and you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Now's the time to join. Up to 15% cash back ends on 12/2. Plus, new members will receive a welcome bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's R-A-K-U-T-E-N. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to the Natcha Healing Show. Keep it Natcha. Be the Natcha Healing Show.
Hello, you are listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. You can find out more about me and my work at CatherineKerrigan.com and UnlimitedEnergyNow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Now, our guest today is Jim Caveney. Jim Caveney is the author of a book called Unlimited Heart, How to Transform Your Pain into Purpose. And he's also the founder of Unlimited Heart and Health Wellness. You can find out more about Jim Caveney and his wonderful work at two websites, unlimitedheartbook.com and unlimitedheart.co. Welcome, Jim Caveney.
Thank you so much, Catherine. Appreciate you having me today.
So, Jim Caveney, you are someone who has suffered from atrial fibrillation, also known as AFib. So, will you explain for our audience what exactly is AFib?
Sure. No, absolutely. Yeah. So AFib just happens to be the number one arrhythmia in the world. In the United States, it's impacting close to 6 million patients right now. And that is supposed to go up to 12 million by 2030. And so then when you factor into the global side of that as well, you're pushing close to 30 to 50 million people in just six more years. And so it is the number one arrhythmia in the world. And one of the biggest challenges with it is, and the biggest risk factors with it is stroke from it, because at the end of the day, the heart is beating at a rapid pace, but it is not in a smooth manner. So it's very aggressive, very coarse beating. And so what happens with that, unfortunately, is sometimes if there's slight pauses in that, then the blood will pool up and you might get a clot. And then all of a sudden, when your heart rate starts to go back into sinus rhythm, pushes out a clot and you ultimately have a stroke. And that's why stroke is the number one risk factor for anybody with AFib.
So, and can you back up for our audience? Will you explain what exactly is arrhythmia?
Yeah, an arrhythmia is basically a rhythm of the heart that is outside of what is your normal sinus rhythm. So, for instance, obviously, if you're walking around normally today, you're probably not even paying attention to your heartbeats because they're probably very rhythmic, you know. But when you have an arrhythmic, that means it's out of rhythm. And so what that could be, it could be a couple of beats and then a pause and then a couple more beats, or it could be beats. In my case, I was having heart rate beats of up to 240 beats per minute. So it was really kind of coming through my chest. And so you feel those things and you're like, this is obviously not a good situation. And oftentimes too, you get situations with it that you feel like you're going to pass out. And that was also my situation. And I'm 6'5". So when I went down, I went down. I was like a tree in the woods, going down pretty aggressively.
Now, as you know, and for our audience who is less familiar with heart problems, there's basically two kinds of heart problems: plumbing problems, which would be problems with your veins and arteries and the plumbing of your heart, and then also electrical problems. So would you explain for our audience, is arrhythmia and AFib an electrical problem or a plumbing problem or both?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's actually an electrical problem. So my veins, my arteries, everything are fit as fiddles. And so I'm nice and healthy there. But it's the electrical conduction is all out of whack. And predominantly the electrical conduction part of it stems from the backside of the heart. And so that's why when there are certain medical procedures that are done, such as cardiac ablations, they will actually go in, do a procedure where they isolate the electrical conduction that is on the backside of the heart, so that arrhythmia no longer occurs. And so they are completely different. So if somebody says, "I had a heart attack," you have to qualify. Well, is that an AFib, or are you talking about an actual heart attack where your heart actually has a plug in the vasculature? And that's a much different situation.
Yeah, so then again, in the most basic terms that our audience can understand, is it a plumbing problem or an electrical problem, right?
Right. Correct.
And your whole body is electrical because the doctors can measure your EKG and you can measure your EEG in your brain. And you were
That
going
is,
to say,
yeah, no, that's correct. I mean, and that's the whole thing, right? And I think too, and this is why it's important. Obviously, this is a natural healing show that we're talking about. And so that's why it's really important to think about the things that we consume in our body. Particularly for me, and really for across anybody that's suffering from AFib, there's triggers in the world, right? My trigger, like many others, was alcohol. Other triggers can be a variety of different things. Exercise can also trigger things. We can talk a little bit about that. But some of the negative triggers are dehydration and alcohol, and some other aspects. Sometimes spicy foods can trigger an AFib as well.
now, what are the warning signs and symptoms of AFib? If somebody's listening to this broadcast, how would they know whether or not they have AFib?
Well, so Catherine, that's a great point to bring up too, because 40% of all patients with AFib don't have any symptoms whatsoever. And so this is the situation where they come into an office because I'll just say they have a strep throat. This was my situation, by the way. And I was symptomatic, but I went in, I said, "Hey, I think I've got strep throat. Oh, and by the way, I've got something wrong with my heart." But most people will go in and they'll just get their blood pressure checked and they'll just go through standard procedures with the doctors. And they'll say, "Wait a minute, your heart's not beating the right way. You have AFib." And most people say, "No, I don't have AFib. There's no problems." And then they go and they actually find out that they had quietly had AFib for many, many years. So back to you. So some of that is 40% of them is asymptomatic, meaning they don't feel anything. But for others, and this is there's a big campaign around the American Heart Association where they say, if you feel like you're going to pass out, that's not normal. Like that's clearly not normal. So you need to get checked out. Don't just brush it off as something, "Oh, that was just a once in a lifetime experience." No, that's probably a sign of something underlying happening. So passing out is a big issue. High heart rates, as well as just general, you start to sweat and feel a little nervous and around it, and because anxiety starts to build up around what's going on, go get yourself checked.
Right. And when you refer to high heartbeat, so for our audience, again, who, normal people who are listening, what is a typical heartbeat of someone with AFib?
Well, so that varies, right? So there's a couple of different classifications of AFib. So there's paroxysmal AFib, and what that means is you can have you can be in an AFib situation for a couple of days, and then you go back to normal rhythm. Now, if you're in an AFib situation, you could have an elevated heart rate of anywhere between 120 beats to 300 beats per minute. And so it can be very aggressive. Mine were predominantly around 180 to 220 beats per minute. And so there's the paroxysmal side of it, which is it comes and goes. And then there's the persistent. And the persistent is basically you're always in it. And then there's constant AFib. So there's three specific levels. And the constant AFib is there's no way of reversing it. But persistent AFib, you do have some chances of potentially reversing that through a number of different modalities.
Okay, now here we are at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. If someone has been diagnosed with AFib by their doctor, what natural healing approaches can people take
Yeah.
to balance their heart rate naturally?
Yeah, and this is such a great question, and it's so important too because just last year, the new AFib guidelines were just released, and there was a huge push where lifestyle modification of those risk factors was used to be there was a four-pillared system, and that was the fourth pillar. They actually moved it all the way up to the second pillar in the scheme of things because stroke prevention is number one. Because remember we talked about how violent a stroke can be with an AFib patient. But then right next to that is lifestyle modification. So what does that mean? Well, a lot of the folks that have AFib, myself not included, I was 6'5". I was 38 years old when I was diagnosed. I was not obese. I didn't had no hypertension, nothing, right? But a lot of people are diabetic, hypertensive, obese. And so really a lot of the fixes can be managed just by the person themselves. Get out and work out. Start to watch what you're eating. We had talked about prior to the show doing yoga. Yoga is very important to doing this. Just any type of mindfulness where you can actually relax yourself. And you being the expert in this space, I'm sure you could tack on a little bit around like the importance of the vagus nerve and how that can really have an impact on our heart rate, heart rhythm, and everything else, and just general calmingness of ourselves is cool ways to say I don't need a maybe I don't need a medicine to help me out. I can do some things on my own to start to control some of those risk factors.
Yes, and I remember actually earlier this year, one of my regular yoga students developed AFib. And here in the US, even if you have health insurance and you have money, it was actually going to be 2 months before he could have a procedure, a medical procedure to deal with his AFib. But he would come to my yoga class, and that was a really important thing for him to help modulate and calm down and balance his heart rate naturally. And at the time, I remember also teaching him a hand mudra from yoga that is often used to prevent heart attacks. So yoga mudras can be used. And when I've had clients with AFib, here's some basic things in addition to obviously controlling your weight. Controlling your weight, make sure that you're properly hydrated, right? Because if you're dehydrated, that alone will affect your blood volume. And people don't make that connection that if you're dehydrated, that affects your blood volume, which is going to affect your blood pressure. But in addition to that, what I found from years of working with people with AFib is actually making sure that you are on a high quality, easily absorbable multi-mineral, believe it or not, because your electrolytes and you're shaking your head agreeing. I actually have a client. If she gets low on minerals, her AFib will start up again. So she's learned from over the years. She just never runs out of minerals. And mineral deficiency shows up. If you have leg cramps from the knee down, that's calcium, magnesium, potassium deficiency. But then there's all these other minerals that you may not have ever heard of, like molybdenum, that really benefit our heart health. And in addition to minerals, I want to make sure anybody on who has AFib is on a high quality mineral supplement. And another one that is really important for AFib and heart health in general is actually CoQ10. But there again, it's an individual thing because there's CoQ10 and then also ubiquinol. So as a medical intuitive healer, I'll figure out, which formula works best for your heart because there is no one size fits all. So you've got to get the right mineral and then is it CoQ10 or is it ubiquinol and then the right amount. Yeah. So as someone who manages AFib, what sort of natural healing approaches do you take to manage your AFib naturally?
Yeah, so I've been, I mean, I was a, so I was a rower in college a long, long time ago. And one of the key things that we always did was yoga. And so for me, since I was 20, so for 30 plus years, I've done yoga. Now I will qualify that I probably haven't done it all that well. So I try to do my best and I do follow videos to make sure I'm hitting everything in the right way. But yoga is big for me. And you just talked about the appropriate minerals, right? So magnesium glycinate is something I take on a daily basis. CoQ10 is what I take on a daily basis as well. And then this is just me. This is just my own diagnosis or prognosis is I take a baby aspirin every single day too. And there's no scientific, actually there is scientific proof that, taking a baby aspirin does not impact stroke for patients that are in AFib, but it is good if you're not in AFib. And so I just take it because I just generally think that little thinning of my blood helps me out to get over common colds. I've got a little nasally today. Well, I've taken 2 days to get over a quick cold. And so those are the types of things that I do. And also a bunch of mindfulness. I just try to find myself to be calm and relax when I find myself getting into elevated situations where I think I could trigger some things. Now, the other aspect of this is it's the removal of some of the negative influences in what I've done, right? I was never a heavy drinker throughout my life, but I certainly now I if I do have a drink, it's maybe one a week when I'm out with my wife having dinner. But not, other than that, it's I try to just cut out the alcohol because it's really at the end of the day, as a friend of mine said, it's just poison. Like, what are we doing to ourselves? And so it's about the elimination of some of the things that are so rampant around in our world too.
Yes. And here at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio, I did an entire show on natural healing for the five levels of the heart. So if you're wanting to learn more, you can find that video on YouTube, Natural Healing for the Five Levels of the Heart, Catherine Kerrigan, or search the archives of the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio and listen, and where I go in depth and talking about what you can do. And so you're doing magnesium glycinate, baby aspirin, CoQ10, and then you reduce or avoid alcohol, right?
That's
So
correct.
how can alcohol aggravate AFib?
Yeah, so it's just generally a trigger to it, and I think it has to do with, and what you brought up earlier, has to do with the dehydration process that goes on, right? Obviously, we take a drink, and all of a sudden, it's starting to take over. What's the positive things inside the blood? And so that's how alcohol can have a quick little impact on that. I think the other aspects, though, when we think about what's important for AFib is also working out. Right. I mean, the guidelines state you should get at least 220 minutes per week of working out. Now, that doesn't have to be excessively intensive workout. Lifting weights, as we know, he lifting heavy weights now it seems to be back to the popular way it once was because of bone density and everything else. But so lifting weights and going out for walks. I mean, there isn't a day in which I'm not moving, and so it's really important to maintain that throughout your week.
Yes, and I totally agree with you. And if I've got a client with AFib, I'm going to err on the side of moderate exercise, what the experts would refer to as zone two cardio. So, right, and you're nodding your head and completing. In other words, exercise where you could carry on a conversation, right?
That's correct.
Now, let's talk about, and you mentioned that you've practiced yoga for over 20 years as one of your modalities for managing AFib. How important is yoga breathing for regulating our heart rate?
Oh, it's so important, right? Because it's the calming mechanism, right? At the end of the day, I mean, that's why there's so much thing. You know, there's lots of talks around the box breathing methods, and I'm sure you're familiar with far more. You're far well versed at this than I am. But you know, the box breathing processes are really important just to calm yourself down, and I think more so importantly is also to relax the mind, right? Because you, I think that's right, because the mind is so controlling over so many things in our physical nature, that if we're breathing and we're really focusing in on the breathing, then we kind of forget about everything else around that might be distracting us or arising us up. And so that's why for me, just the general breathing, following the order of my instructors, usually on a video, is following what they're telling me to be doing is really makes me feel very calm. Now, the good thing for me, I've been AFib free since 2019, so I'm 5 years out. So I feel great, and that's what we want more people to get to. And so I don't want to go back to that. So that's why I continue to practice this, because I want to make sure that I'm, when I turn 60 and 70, that I'm in better shape than I was when I was 30.
Yes, and for our audience, one of my 10 books is called The Little Book of Breathwork. Esquire magazine named it one of the top 30 best wellness books of all time. And if you're listening to this broadcast and you have AFib, you're welcome to send me an email, Catherine@CatherineKerrigan.com, and I will send you an ebook of The Little Book of Breathwork. But going back to my question about how, what's the connection between our breathing and our heart rate? Those of us who wear any kind of fitness monitor, what you'll notice is if you calm your breath and you find an equal length between your inhale and the exhale, first thing that's going to happen is your stress level is going to go down. So that's going to lower your cortisol, and your breathing actually controls your heart rate. So when you're wanting to lower a high heart rate, one of the things that you can do is to learn how to control your breathing. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a message from one of our commercial sponsors here at UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. And you can find out more about me at CatherineKerrigan.com. And again, if you want a copy of The Little Book of Breathwork, email Catherine@CatherineKerrigan.com. Mention that you listen to the radio show with Jim Caviney, and you're wanting a free ebook of The Little Book of Breathwork. Our guest today is Jim Caviney, author of Unlimited Heart: How to Transform Your Pain into Purpose. We'll be right back.
Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Yeah, no, so great. So I think what we're striving to do, we are a startup company, so we've only been in existence for about a year, a little over a year now. But the intent is this. You know, everybody talks about having the right goals in life to, well, change some of those lifestyle modification risk factors, right? Go out and exercise, you know, lift weights, eat better, those types of things. And those are all well and good when you have goals, but our goal here is to build a system so people can actually jump onto Unlimited Heart Health and Wellness's platform and be involved in a system that's going to actually be able to set you out on your course and your journey of tackling your diet, your exercise, your mindfulness, right? We have a team of performance psychologists that work with people in regards to their mindfulness around what they're dealing with. And then lastly, also building a community, because even though I was, I qualify myself as an educated individual, I still had a lot of ignorance around my own disease state. And so here, if I'm somebody that's heavily involved in health and wellness for the last 25 years, and I'm still missing things, like what about the general population who may not have access to this information or may not know how to interpret the information from the web? And so our goal would be to streamline that and make sure that it's a little bit more organized. And so we're pretty excited about where we're going with this.
That's wonderful. And people can find out more about that company at unlimitedheart.co. Now, as I mentioned, in my 31 years experience in natural healing, over the years, I've worked with a number of people with AFib, and it can be quite disturbing when all of a sudden your heart starts racing and you can't figure out what's going on. So, and as I mentioned earlier this year, one of my yoga students developed AFib, and he had to wait 2 months before he could get a medical procedure that would address it. But I taught him a yoga mudra that would help. Now, one of the things that we understand is that you have an electrical system in your body, also known as your acupuncture system. Your acupuncture meridians begin either in your hands and feet. And so when you change the position of your hands, you literally change the flow of energy in your body. That's basically how it works. Now, when you study yoga, there's many different mudras. And in my book, The Little Book of Breath Work, I talk about some basic hand mudras that you can use to, you know, achieve all kinds of goals, to boost your immune system, to feel more at peace, to release anxiety, and so on. But the mudra in yoga that is most commonly used to prevent heart attacks is called Apana Vayu Mudra. So how do you do Apana Vayu? Say that really fast. How do you do Apana Vayu Mudra? So, and you want to do this mudra on both hands. So you open your hands and then you fold your index finger down to the center of your palm. And then you bring your thumb together with the middle and the ring finger. And then you would, and I'm holding my hands up for those of us who are watching the video. If you're listening, again, you fold your index finger towards the center of your palm, and then you connect your thumb with the middle finger and the ring finger. And then you would hold that mudra while doing deep, even, calming breathing. And again, when you hold mudras and do breathing exercises, if you're wearing any kind of fitness monitor, such as I wear a Whoop, which is a very commonly known fitness device, you can see the biofeedback instantly, where it's immediately lowering your heart rate, immediately lowering your stress level. So Jim Caviney, when you notice yourself, because you're a human, when you start to feel anxious or your heart starts racing, what do you do?
Yeah, so same thing for me. I mean, as we talked earlier, I didn't know of that mudra there. So now that I do, I'm going to probably start to practice that. So thank you. But I think what it, for me, I do a lot of the box breathing. You know, so I'll do 4 seconds in, 4 seconds out, and you know, the hold and everything else. And that to me really helps to calm me down. The other aspect of it too, which is a little bit more around my thoughts, is to calm myself down, is because when you know, anxiety can't exist in the brain at the same time that gratitude exists. And so for me, I often start to think to myself, all right, what am I grateful for? It might be kind of difficult to think about that in a very challenging moment, but I just start to think, all right, I'm in a good place, I'm with my loved ones or something like that. And then that starts to calm myself down a little bit there as well, in addition to the breathing.
Yes. Here's another story from my real life. So last year, I drove one of my best friends to the emergency room while he was having a heart attack.
Wow.
And his blood pressure was 230, his oxygen was 72. He was subsequently in the hospital for 3.5 weeks, had major open heart surgery. I mean, they basically did a complete repair job on his heart. So he had the open heart surgery in September. And then in March of this year, he started having AFib, which of course was, very common after people have had major heart surgery that they get AFib. But one of the things that I did was I had him lower his stress level and get on a high quality multi-mineral, and that stopped the AFib. So he didn't actually have to have any medical procedure just by getting his mineral levels up and working on lowering his stress. So, what are 5 steps that people can take to realign and address adversity, in order to improve their heart health?
So 5 steps to address the adversity with their heart health is, I think that the first thing is that I always say this is accept your mortality. And why do I say that coming out of the gate is because we're all going to die at some point. But when you get struck in with something like I did, I often think to myself, well, all right, well, clearly I'm not invincible. Like something could go wrong. So I give that up. So I say, okay, I'm going to die, but I'm not going to die today. Because I'm going to be grateful for what I have in my mind. So why do I say that? So I say that because the step two is making sure that you seize the day, right? So what I want to do is make sure that then on that day, I'm going to do everything in my power to do the right things to control my heart health. And that's to make the right decisions, right? So there's a lot of books out there about building habits and building the right habits. And so for me, it's I use I use certain phraseology when I'm talking, and I speak to myself out loud, by the way. Sometimes my kids and my wife think I'm a little crazy, but I, as I'm walking into the pantry and I might be diving in for something that's maybe a little sweet, a little something more savory, then I'll just say, I don't need that today, right? And so then I try to go and pick a healthier snack, right? So I think it's one is accept your mortality, two, seize the day, make sure that you're handling things. To make sure that what you're doing today is going to benefit you tomorrow. And then the three around managing the heart health is get moving, right? Don't stagnate, as we were talking about earlier, the importance of exercise. And it doesn't have to be crazy. Just get out and garden, right? Because obviously gardening, I think in some situations can be very cathartic and probably equivalent with the breathing mechanisms of yoga, because it's very peaceful if you do it the right way. If you're not weeding, as much as you are, if you're actually truly tending to a garden. And then I think four for me too is I think there's a religiosity to the way I take on my life. And I think, whether or not you're a believer or not, or if you just generally are in spirituality, just finding time to center yourself with the universe. That's just me. For me, that's usually first thing in the morning. I get up, I go, and I do my exercise. But even before I dive into that, I just sit there. I'm grateful, and I say, what are my intentions for today? So really setting up what my goals are. And then lastly, and I think the fifth thing, and this really comes at the end of the day for me, and that is forgiveness. So why does this have everything to do with the heart? Well, because it has a lot to do with the heart. Because at the end of the day, if I don't hit all of those key targets that I had for the day, I forgive myself, and I say, okay. I tried my best. I missed a few things. It's okay. Guess what? Tomorrow's a new day. I'm gonna move forward. So that way, because you don't want to put your own anxiety and your pressure on top of yourself. There's enough crap in this world that we want to avoid that you shouldn't be beating yourself up about it either. And so I think those 5 quick steps is really how I try to live my day. It's not perfect every day because nobody's perfect, but I strive for it. But most importantly, at the end of the day, I forgive myself for being human. And then I start all over the next day.
Great information. And with that, let's take a break and listen to a commercial sponsors here at the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. Our guest today is Jim Caviney. His book is called Unlimited Heart: How to Transform Your Pain into Purpose. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one best-selling author. We'll be right back.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Jim Caveney, you mentioned that alcohol can be a major contributing factor for AFib. Also, in our society, as you know, many people are suffering from various drug addictions, and all of these legal and illegal drugs can contribute to heart problems. From your experience studying this subject for decades and healing yourself, what are some of the major risk factors for AFib that people need to watch out for?
Yeah. So, I mean, outside of those basic triggers, you know, as we talked about earlier, I mean, AFib is usually, AFib can happen. For me, I was an athlete, so I didn't have a lot of contributing factors. I was not obese. I didn't have hypertension or any of those things. And I wasn't an illicit drug user. And this was, I guess, kind of a funny thing. Situation when I was going and meeting with a lot of my cardiologists, electrophysiologists, my wife always being present, they would say, "Are you using cocaine?" And, you know, I'm like, "No, I'm not." And then they would ask me again, "Are you sure?" And I was like, "Not so sure. I look like a coke addict, but I don't know what a coke addict looks like." But illicit drug use certainly contributes to that. And so I make light of that a little bit because it is the lifestyle choices, right, at the end of the day. And AFib, and this is what we're trying to strive with Unlimited Heart, as well as our other partners out there, is AFib can be prevented. AFib can be reversed if you do the right things. And it doesn't always have to be medicinally connected. It can be holistically, as you were talking about earlier. And so we just have to get people to understand that you can actually, you know, if you do the hard things, your life will actually be easier. And so if you can watch yourself, watch what you're eating, don't indulge, you know, and I was literally at a conference, a heart rhythm conference in Atlanta in September. And there was a physician up there and he's like, "Listen, I don't want you to be boring. Like, if you want to go out and have a drink, go out and have a drink. Just don't have 12 of them." Right. And so I think it's finding that right balance. And it is a challenge for some people who might have been on the wrong course for a long time. But you also have to see the value in what your life is. And I often say this to people, and I wish I would have known this adage, because I would have done things differently. Like, what you do when you're 20 impacts what you are when you're 30, and then when you're 40, and then 50, right? It all adds up, right? So it's like, do you want to do the hard things earlier when that's easier, or do you want to do the hard things later when they're really, really hard and your life is on the line? And so for us, let's just strive. And I think that's the whole point of Unlimited Heart Health and Wellness, is to empower people to feel and see cognitively that they got this. Like, you can do this. And that's why our performance psychologists are in place, to really encourage these individuals to say, let's not set out huge goals right out of the gate. Let's just do little baby steps. Little small improvements every day are going to have compounding interest effects on how good you can control your stuff. And usually, if you can control your obesity, if you can control your, then if you watch your obesity, sometimes you can also control your hypertension right out of the gate. So if you solve one problem, guess what? You might be actually knocking down a whole bunch of other dominoes that contributed to AFib.
Now, and you mentioned that when you went to the cardiologist, they asked you point blank, "Do you take cocaine?" And, you know, whenever I have clients who are taking drugs, and, you know, again, we want to be compassionate here because people all over the world are listening, and many people are on medications for different illnesses. But one of the things that I always encourage people to do, if you're taking any drug, legal or illegal, you want to become an expert at what the side effects of those drugs are, yeah. Right?
100%.
100%. And so are there any drugs that you know of, in addition to cocaine, which of course is illegal, that cause AFib?
Well, I mean, outside just alcohol in general, right? I mean, I never touched anything. I'd have never touched marijuana, nothing at all. I mean, for me, it was always just alcohol. And so we know specifically, I mean, there's data, hard data to prove that alcohol can induce AFib. So if there's ways to minimize and or just completely eliminate, people should do that.
Okay. Now, in Chinese medicine, the heart is referred to as the emperor of the body. So there's a great phrase, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy. Can AFib be a sign of deeper heart problems? And if so, what might they be?
So that's a great question, and I honestly I don't know what that connection is to the bigger problems that's there. What we do know, and I'll highlight this around the exercise side of things. And I was just having this conversation with a cardiologist last week. You know, if you're an intensive athlete, what happens invariably is that your heart gets larger, right? And that's usually a good thing. But when that happens, unfortunately, then too, that sometimes then leads to AFib happening. And that's why there's a number of articles out there how too much exercise can ultimately kill you. These are the title of these stories. And so it's the limit when you start to pull back on the exercise, then you start to get a little bit better. So I think it's from the underlying conditions is usually your heart's too large in those situations where AFib was happening if you're doing too much exercise. Now, all the other underlying aspects of things, you know, there could be, you know, around, you could have some valvular issues, which again, doctors will take a look at that. They'll check out and take a look at your ejection fraction, which is kind of your heart's ability to push out the blood. So they'll take a look at the other structural abnormalities of the heart to see if there's something else there, or if it is also just related to the electrical, because you're right, there are some compounding issues out there that can occur.
Now, if someone is listening to this broadcast and they know that they suffer from AFib, whether, as you said, you know, occasionally or all the time, what are the risk factors that they may be having a stroke? Because people need to know if you're having a stroke, you need to get immediate medical attention. So what would those risk factors be, or those signs that they're about to have a stroke?
Yeah. So, well, the one thing, well, I want to be very clear with the stroke. It's you're five times more likely to have a stroke with AFib than whether you're in normal rhythm or not. So it's that much more intensive. And by the way, those strokes are far more intense than a normal stroke, and all strokes are bad, right? Mm-hmm. So around the stroke situation is and I came exceptionally close. I mean, I had a situation where my heart actually had transformed into what they call tachy Brady syndrome. And the tachy Brady syndrome was a high level heart rate. And then the Brady is when it just like, I'm tired, I'm going to pause. And so for 6 months, I was having 6 second pauses. And so during those 6 second pauses, now that was happening. And I thought, well, this is just all part of my AFib. And then those 6 second pauses, the blood is pooling up. And then it starts to beat normally again. And that's when you have the risk of the stroke going out. So that's why people who are on who have AFib are on some level of blood thinner. So there's a lot of new aged novel anticoagulants that are out there that are far more easy to deal with than the Coumadins of the world. But you have to be on a blood thinner if you're definitely in AFib and in a significant way, because you want to minimize that risk for it.
So I'm going to go back to the questions. Can you explain for our audience, what are the signs and symptoms that you're having a stroke?
Yeah, you know, that's great question. I mean, obviously, if you're starting to, if you start to black out, if you have other symptoms of, you know, just basically paralysis or some things happening on one side of the body versus the other. Those are just the standard things that come along with the stroke that are pretty bad. I mean, you can have palsies, things like that, that can then occur as well. So you need to get action immediately.
All right. And then you mentioned that if you went to a medical doctor and you have AFib, they're going to put you on a medication for blood thinners. So natural blood thinners could include fish oil. So what natural blood thinners do you recommend?
So I don't actually use any natural blood thinners, to be quite honest with you. So as I mentioned earlier, I just use my bare aspirin. But I, you know, for me, it's always been, like you just said, I was always well aware of the fish oils as being a natural remedy for thinning the blood. But outside of that, I don't have anyone in particular that I would recommend.
Yes. Now, as someone who you've dedicated your life to helping other people reverse AFib, what is it that you, if there is one message that you really want everyone to understand about AFib, what would it be?
Is it, well, it's not a death sentence. You know, that's the one thing, because I think immediately, because it's your heart, right? So invariably, as you were saying, it's the Chinese call it the body's emperor, right? And so it's when you have AFib, you're like, oh my gosh, it's a heart issue. Like, and it is bad. Trust me, it can be very, very bad. But it's also not a death sentence, and people can live with it. But the other aspect of this is reversible, right? So I want people to know that if you take the right steps in your life, you can actually reverse this for yourself. And it doesn't have to be the burden that it ultimately is. And invariably, when I go to conferences, I see a lot of folks that are struggling with things, but I also look at them and, you know, try not to be judgmental, but most of them are obese, not eating well. You know, they're afraid to go out and be physically active. Back to the discussion around blood thinners. It's just like, well, what if I fall while I'm on a blood thinner? I don't want to bleed out. Of course, we don't want you to do that. But you want to just be safe with these things and how you go about it. But it is so easily you can help yourself by managing your risk factors by taking on a healthy lifestyle. And, you know, hearing these doctors and cardiologists and electrophysiologists all say you can reverse this just by making some general changes without the need for medicine, that's important. That's important. That's what we want people to know.
So your book, Unlimited Heart, How to Transform Your Pain into Purpose. What's the main message from your wonderful book that you want everyone to remember?
So for me, and I think that the whole story, it is a memoir-y business type of a book, but the whole idea is, and that's why you see here the picture above me is a half heart, half mind, because the key thing for me, and the book goes all the way back to the very beginning of my life when I dealt with severe anxiety as a child, and I found ways which, you know, ultimately going to counseling and everything else, I wasn't getting where I wanted to be. And I quickly learned out that just by controlling some of my thoughts, I had no idea what I was doing at the time, but apparently I was doing it right. But just by controlling some of my thoughts, I was able to diminish my anxiety. And so that actually teed me up for my challenges in later in life when I was diagnosed with AFib. And so I think what I want to people to realize is that if you have the fine balance between the heart and the mind, when those two are synergistically together, you're unlimited. And that's the whole point. Like you can do anything as long as your heart and your mind are aligned, and you have to do the hard work every single day in order to do so.
What a fantastic message. You've been listening to the Natural Healing Show for UK Health Radio. I'm your host, Catherine Kerrigan, medical intuitive healer, Amazon number one bestselling author. You can find out more about me at CatherineKerrigan.com. and unlimitedenergynow.com. While you're there, definitely sign up for my newsletter so you can learn even more about how you can heal yourself naturally. Our guest today has been Jim Caveney, who reversed his AFib through lifestyle. And you can too. And he is the author of Unlimited Heart, How to Transform Your Pain into Purpose, and founder of Unlimited Heart and Health Wellness. You can find out more about Jim Caveney and his wonderful work at unlimitedheartbook.com and unlimitedheart.co. And remember, if you have been diagnosed with AFib, that is not a death sentence, and you can reverse it naturally through some of the methods that we've been discussing. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the Natural Healing Show. Keep it natural with the Natural Healing Show.